Okay, but tonight we're going to continue our study on the very important subject of the church. We're going to begin our study tonight with a question we've already talked about. It's question 7 on your lesson. Question 7. That's based on the verse in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus was a preacher on the island of Crete. One of his responsibilities as he visited the various churches on that island and taught was to see that what happened. They appoint elders in those congregations. And in the verses immediately following that verse 5, what is there that indicates to Titus what his responsibility would be? To teach the qualifications, right. So that brethren would be equipped with the knowledge to appoint the right kind of men. Not that Titus was to go around and himself select men, but rather to teach the things that would enable the brethren to select the kind of men that God is pleased with. And so in our lesson, we talked about that on the outline on Roman numeral 2D, the need for elders. And so we're at point E on the outline. You have a copy of the outline. If indeed, in fact, we noticed when Paul went back through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, having just preached the gospel in those cities and made Christians there and churches sprang up, what did we find him, he and Barnabas doing in, according to Acts 14:23? What did they do? What did they do? Appointed elders in every church. That's right. And so we see Paul and Barnabas doing that. Later he instructs Titus to do the same thing on the island of Crete. And we see him instructing Timothy about the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy 3 and telling him that he's writing these things so the church would be a pillar and ground of the truth. So the right kind of men to serve in this capacity is according to God's plan. And it is the responsibility of those who are teaching to try to not only encourage brethren, but to teach in such a way so brethren are equipped to select the right kind of men. Now, if it is God's plan that churches have elders, and these verses certainly indicate that, we ask the question on the outline, or we just make the note, why do some churches not have elders? And so we've got a number of things listed. You may be able to add to that list. Oftentimes, churches have no elders because there's simply not anybody qualified. Either they do not meet the character qualifications or they're not equipped to do the work of elders. And to serve as an elder, one needs to be qualified to do that work. It may be a young church where people have not had time to grow in the faith. It's interesting in the churches of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, in a short time they appointed elders, possibly because these people already had a religious background and knowledge based on their Jewish connections. I don't know if that's the case, possibly because they were better equipped due to spiritual gifts, but be that as it may, oftentimes churches are composed of younger men, the older are disqualified. And I've been in churches like that where they had some good young men and the older men simply had not prepared themselves to serve. They weren't qualified to serve. In fact, the church would have been worse off had they served. And so that sometimes happens. Now, in order for that to be avoided, point number 3, what has to take place? Preparation. Preparation. When will that start? When you're 45? You're young. And so how do you prepare? Well, you need to know the qualifications, don't you, in order to prepare. We didn't spend a whole lot of time on that, but that's important to know those, not only the character qualifications, but the work qualifications. So that when it comes time for brethren to select a man, they say, that's the man who has not only the character, but has demonstrated that he's willing and able to do the work. And so if a person's going to be preparing to serve as an elder based on Acts chapter 20, which we did look at briefly, what kind of things will he be doing to prepare himself based on Acts 20? Learn what the Word of God says. That's one thing. You can be a Bible student. What else? What? Carry himself with dignity. He's going to do that. What? Be willing to talk to people about spiritual matters, about their soul. Be willing to be involved in difficult circumstances. Paul said, I didn't hold back in declaring the whole counsel of God. He went to Jews and to Gentiles. And so we need men who are not only willing, but will involve themselves in going and seeking people and talk to them about their souls and being willing to stand up in the face of opposition and difficulties. When do you start that? Do you wait till they appoint you? Say, okay, brother so-and-so is an elder now. Is that it? Is that when we start seeing about people? Is that when we start calling on people? Is that when we start talking to people about their souls? You men in this audience who are in your 20s and 30s, it's time right now for you to start preparing to serve by doing that kind of work right now. Don't wait till you're 40 or 45 or 50. And then, number five, skip number four for right now. No one cares. Everybody's satisfied. Sometimes people are satisfied even if they don't have elders. Sometimes people fail to realize the need, the seriousness of serving as elders. What would happen if two of the elders in this congregation were traveling together and got in a serious wreck? Neither one were capable of serving any longer. You wouldn't have any elders, would you? Can that happen? Rogers told us about a co-worker, close friend of his, got in a car wreck, unexpected, laid up in the hospital, don't know what'll happen. It could happen. Could one or more of the elders suffer a heart attack? Sure. Are there men who are preparing themselves to serve? Are we just going to wait till the critical time, or is it time now to be prepared? Look at question number 18 on your lesson. We can talk academically about this all day long, about what the Bible teaches and all of that, but the only way it's going to make any difference is to answer this question. I'm not asking you to answer it, I'm asking you to think about it. Are you making plans to be an elder? You ladies who are in the audience, you're married to men who might someday be qualified. Are you encouraging them? Are you leading a life of dignity that will be an honor to your husband as people look at him as to whether or not he's qualified to serve? Are y'all training your children now so people say that guy and that woman can manage their household with dignity? These are things to be considered. One of the qualifications of serving as an elder is hospitality. How important is it then that a woman learn to open the home and have folks in to practice hospitality? Do we care? Do we want to serve? Is it easy? Nobody said it was easy. But it's important. It's part of God's plan for the oversight of His church. That's what we're studying in this lesson. We also have unreasonable expectations. Sometimes when you look through these qualifications, fact, the only person who would qualify would be Jesus Christ. For example, you look at these qualifications. Say, let's take Titus 1 for example. Verse 9, he's to be holding fast the faith word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he'll be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Could you ever appoint a man who you knew an instant in his life when he had an opportunity to stand for truth and he wouldn't stand because of his friends, because he was afraid? Would you be able to appoint a man like that to serve as an elder? No? You couldn't? Anybody else?
In the past, I mean, you got to grow spiritually. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, Steve. What if you lost your temper?
And I'm just dealing with this. What if the guy wouldn't stand? He said you got to be able to reprove. That's a good point, David. That's exactly what I'm thinking about. What about Peter? Not only when he denied Jesus, what else happened with Peter? That's right. When he could have stood against the Judaizing teachers, he and Barnabas kind of withdrew from the Gentiles so they wouldn't get any flack. Could Peter serve as an elder? Did he? Yes, 1 Peter 5 he did. The character of man is not judged by one act. David made a good point. One of the characteristics is he's not soon angry. If you know an elder has ever lost his temper, could he serve? This is a character trait. Sometimes people do out of character things, like David with his sin with Bathsheba. That was not the general nature of David. That was an out of character act. He was wrong as he could be. Yes, Glenn?
You can do 100 things right, and you do one thing wrong, that's what they remember.
That is true. What Glenn said is exactly right. The verse I'm looking for here, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put my finger on it. Okay. I can't put my finger on it, so I'll just let it ride for now. But what Glenn said is exactly right. Sometimes you can live a lifetime of good conduct and you do one thing wrong and people hold you accountable for that, which is, it could be that kind of thing, but not necessarily. Depends on whether it's indicative of one's character and one's practice. So, yes, sir. Okay.
God wouldn't hold up Job as an example of a righteous man because at some point during the course of
he certainly did, didn't he?
Old struck the rock for water of the earth. And yet God said he was no man in all the earth who didn't become Job's man.
Good point. So think about unreasonable expectations. We need not to just put a man in because he's our friend and we like him, but at the same time be reasonable in our judgment of character. And then another reason sometimes there's no elders we have here on this list, some people just like to have their say. And they don't want some men to be leaders and take that away from them, that they have to respect their leadership. And then I'm afraid sometimes number 7 is the reason. People have been in experiences where they've had bad elders. And there are churches with bad elders. And because the experience has been bad, they don't want to face that again. Can you think of a situation in the Bible where people were experiencing a very bad, bad situation and they decided they just wanted to chunk it, do something different than what God's plan was? Yes, Mark?
They wanted to spend the judgment
that came out of the rest. That's right. 2 Samuel 8. Samuel's boys were corrupt. They said, well, we want a king. That was not God's plan. Plan was get those boys out of there and get some righteous judges. Not do something different. Okay. Anybody add to this list? All right. These are just some suggestions as to why churches do not have elders, and yet it is God's plan. All across this country, there are churches that exist for years and years and years, and there are no elders. That's not what God wants. Yes?
I just had a question. Do you have any more of the
lessons? I have about two or three.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
In my experience of visiting various churches, and of course I don't know all the details of them, it seems like more churches than not may have qualified men, but they're not serving because of the character qualifications. People being might be unreasonable.
Okay, could be the unreasonable qualification. Maybe the man just don't want the headache. Let's let somebody else do it, ma'am. That's true. Sometimes men won't step up. What's going to help prepare you to step up, young men?
Study.
What?
Study.
Study's going to help you. That it?
Experience.
Go do it. You see somebody that needs encouragement? Do you call them? Do you say, let's have a Bible study? See somebody that's drifting? Do you go to work on it? Experience. You can study about how to ride a bicycle for 50 years. You're going to learn how to ride one by studying? You're going to have to get on there. You're going to fall a few times. You're just going to have to go do it. If there's anything the church needs, it's good, qualified men to serve in this capacity. And I hope that in years to come, when Wally and Rod and I are gone from the scene, there are qualified men here who are serving. If the Lord lets this world continue, this church continue. But it's going to be up to the men that are sitting in this building, probably, as to whether that's the case. The men and the women. There are substitutions sometimes for God's plan. Notice I have A, preacher rule. I've got a question. Question 11 on the lesson. Would you please write the verse that authorizes a preacher to oversee a church under certain conditions? Anybody find a verse? Does it happen? It definitely happens, folks. And you know what? People are willing to let it happen. Well, the people are not learned, and it's just easier. And while people are willing to let it happen, a preacher should be working not to let it happen. But preacher rule. There was a man in Oklahoma, he was a friend of mine, good man. But he had some unusual ideas. One of them was the idea of preacher rule, preacher oversight. Preacher appoints elders, preacher can take them out. Preacher starts a church, and he can decide that. I believe in what's called evangelistic oversight. Titus 2:15. That's one of them. These things speak and rebuke with all authority. It's one of the verses he used. So the evangelist has authority. That's not what the verse means, but that's one of the verses. Dominant, influential individuals. Sometimes people rule a church because they just have a dominant personality and nobody will stand up to them. Or because they're a charter member. Or because they contribute a lot. Yes.
Or because they hold the note on the building.
That's right. And one of the ways that sometimes people like this rule is if it doesn't go right, they start rattling the cage. Well, I'm leaving. Oh, we can't have that. And these dominant, strong people will rule. Doesn't mean these people can't be effective in the kingdom, but they cannot be allowed to let their dominance rule the congregation. Yes.
It's also in some instances that nobody else can do it. I know personally a place where to get the lesson, to get your son to sing, to get your son to lead the prayer. I mean, it fell.
That happens, what Linda's talking about, where people won't step up, so somebody does. Unfortunately, that happens in families. We talked about the family in our last quarter, that the man is to be the leader and the wife is to submit to him. But are there families where the man doesn't step up? There are. Somebody's got to make some decisions. And that's a good point Linda makes, and that's sad. That happens. Linda's exactly right. So one or two men who are willing to step up, then they're labeled as the bosses, when all they're doing is trying to get things done. And that's sad, but that happens. What Linda says is exactly right. Voting. Sometimes people say, we're going to take a vote, 51% rule. Is that God's plan? No, but I got just the opposite of it, the next point. It's been preached for so many years that voting is wrong or not scriptural or whatever, to where what's happened oftentimes in churches, if there's one or two people that object to something, it doesn't get done. Now you've got something else. You've got objector rule. Is that scriptural? No, it's not scriptural. And eventually it may come down to a point you try to work as a team, but maybe a fellow says, I just can't go with this. He may have to do what Paul and Barnabas did. What'd they do? They couldn't agree. Went their separate ways. That may happen. But it's a team effort. And if a fellow's got a problem and he can't work with the team, maybe he needs to make a change. Most of the time that people want to make a change, that's not the reason. It's because they're getting the heat, because their lives are not what it ought to be. They want a change to get away from that. But they need to make a change, but it's in their heart and lives oftentimes. But nevertheless, objector rule is not God's plan, and that happens in a lot of churches. Things are just completely brought to a halt because one or two people who will be vocal will make it known they're opposed to something. And then we have sponsoring elders. And I have a definition here. Elders functioning as overseers over something other than the congregation to which they are related as bishops. Let's look at question number 14. David Van Voorhis is a father. And he is also a supervisor for the company he works for. So, since he is a father, then when he functions in that company, this is a father overseeing employees and telling them what to do, and they ought to respect him as a father, right? But he is a father. Not in that relationship. That's right. And because he's called a father, doesn't make him functioning as a father in this other relationship. Not that David tries to do that. I'm just using him as an illustration. And so our question here, this is a very important question. When men who are elders function over something other than the local church to which they are related, are they doing so as elders? No. You say, nobody does that. Look at question 15, and look at number D. Question 15D. How many here have heard about the Herald of Truth? Well, a number of you have. In the past 50 years, many, many people heard about the Herald of Truth. It was kind of a focal point of discussion between the antis. You know who those people are, don't you? Talked about that Sunday night. and the Liberals, the Herald of Truth, the church who received funds from about 50, I don't know how many now, but at one time, like 1,500 churches. This is from an article by Philip Morrison. He is a proponent of that. He's not an opponent. And so he's representing this thing. It's not somebody who doesn't believe in it representing it. Here's what he wrote. The Highland Elders, that's the elders who are involved in this Herald of Truth arrangement, and church in Lubbock, Texas, where all these churches send their money, and they put on radio programs, now television programs, that kind of thing. The Highland Elders have two major responsibilities. One, the shepherding of a large local congregation, and number two, the oversight of the International Herald of Truth ministry. While the two are closely related, what happens in one of the two areas should not adversely affect the other. What does that tell you about what these men are doing in that second one? Sir? Are they functioning as elders? In one they are. What about the other one?
They're not.
He said they're not. He said, well, it's really two different roles. Elders, bishops, overseers, whichever you may call them, function in relationship to what? Give me two verses.
Flock among them.
Flock among them. Where's that at?
Acts 20:28.
What's the other verse? First Peter 5:2. Remember those two verses. A father functions in relationship to what? It's the family, the children, right? Father, bring up your children. Any child? His own child. Elders function in relationship to any flock? The flock among them. That's right. That's right. So if David says, I'm going to spank your child, I don't like the way they're behaving. You say, David, you can't do that. You have no authority to do that. He said, I'm a father and he's a child. You agree? Will he be functioning as a father? No. No. And so, our question, our point on the lesson is sponsoring elders. You can call them elders if you want to. You can call a cat a dog. That doesn't make it one. If it's a cat, it still shouldn't exist. But okay. Board of directors and a committee. Here a substitution for God's plan. Board of directors, committees. You see this in denominational churches. Back in the 1940s, there was a man who left the Christian church because of this very thing. Wrote an article about it. Why I left the Christian church. Floyd Decker. In churches of Christ throughout the land that had that sign, they had board of directors and committees. Missionary Society was a board of directors of preachers to oversee the preaching of the gospel. Orphan homes are under boards. Colleges are under boards. Do churches contribute to colleges? What? What? Not scripturally, but they do, don't they? And nearly all the colleges, there are many colleges that started by brethren, and they wouldn't take those kind of contributions. Everyone I know but one now does. As far as I know, that one doesn't. I don't know. It's a temptation. And there's no authority for it. We've talked about 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 8. Mark mentioned it a while ago. If you're not familiar with it, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Yes.
What is the authority
talked about that Sunday.
This is a church that still has, that has qualified elders that are very active, that are very disciplined, but for some reason the ladies are not allowed when a congregational topic is brought up.
That's a good question, but we spent some time on that Sunday, but I don't know of any authority to exclude the ladies. Now, men, I'm not saying elders can't have a men's meeting, for example, an elders class to discuss working in the congregation, but to have a men's meeting pertaining to a common fund or a common work that belongs to everybody and say, you can't come, Josh, because you got a yellow shirt. What basis would that be? You can't come because you're a woman. Why? She's a contributor. It's part of, it's her fund. We talked about that Sunday. If you want to hear more about that, go back and get the tape. Thank you. That's a good question. Isaiah, yes. Somebody say something? Isaiah 8. Verse 5. What is... I'm just testing y'all. 1 Samuel 8. Are elders still qualified to be elders if they get their tongues tied? 1 Samuel 8. Okay. What is it that the nation of Israel is looking at that leads them to substitute for God's plan, according to verse 5? The nations around them, that we might be like the nations. Ever since I was a young preacher, I've heard it said by men, if you want to know what churches of Christ will be doing in the next 10 or 20 years, just look around at what other churches are doing, denominations are doing. Sure enough, that's exactly what's happened. And they just borrow from the people around instead of going back to the Scripture. But this is what happened here. They want to substitute God's plan. Verse 7, God told Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected me. Is that true? What? Had they rejected God? Yes. They have not rejected you. Did they reject Samuel? Yes, they did. Here's our not but construction. The important thing was not their rejection of Samuel, but they had rejected God from being their king. And that's why this is so serious. We have some just points here on the outline. The second century, it was a gradual departure from God's plan for oversight. You would have a group of elders or bishops. And in this group of elders or bishops, one would become the presiding bishop. If you were in Wally's class on religious history, you may remember studying all of that. One would become the presiding bishop among those men, maybe because of his knowledge, maybe because of his dominance, maybe the other guys allowed it, I don't know. That was happening over in another area and another area. And then after a while, the presiding bishops from those areas would get together. And what would come out of that? You'd have another presiding bishop, right? Over the presiding bishops. And then it just continued to pyramid. It took 600 years till you had one man over the entire church, the Pope. But it didn't start out that way. They just wake up one day, let's appoint a universal ruler. It started out with a departure from God's plan for oversight. And that's why we need to be careful that we're following God's plan today. In the 19th century, there was a departure from God's plan, the missionary society arrangement resulting in the Christian church. In the 20th century, there was a departure from God's plan, so focused around sponsoring church. Now look at us today. Churches of Christ do not worship together, do not work together. And a whole lot of it is based purely upon the fact of the lack of authority for the kind of oversight that is being exercised in a lot of churches. Yes, Jim?
That would have not taking place in the first place, well, maybe they didn't want. I don't know. That would have been the case, but not. They've been satisfied with God's plan. Because, you know, they had good judgment, fair and honest, things that actually were.
Maybe not. That's true. If God's plan would have been followed by the fellows who were ruling, maybe this would not have resulted in that. But if you're going to have, if you're going to have over a period, say, of 100 years, a church that has elders over a period of 100 years, are there going to be any bad ones? Yeah, you're going to probably get some bad ones. That's probably true. And but that doesn't mean God's plan is wrong. There's people who get bad mates. Does that mean marriage is wrong?
No.
No. Doesn't. Somebody over here had a comment. I saw a hand. Isn't it? Would you speak up? As much as you can, so everybody can hear you. One change. That's a good point. One seemingly very little change. Okay. Let's look at our questions, see if we can finish this lesson. Question 6, Christians have scriptural authority to oversee what? Which one of those is the correct answer?
Be
only, right? Only be. Are there any churches who will do C? Happened right here in Galveston, I believe it was. There was, I think, another church in that city, a relying outlying area, where the elders of one church was overseeing the other church because it didn't have bishops. So it was a small church, I guess a mission church maybe. Guarantee you it happens.
Hey, Steve,
yes.
I got a question about that. What if you have, say, a church of 400 and they're going to split into congregations.
Do you think that could happen where the elders try to help the smaller congregation they
split
into to try to grow? Do you think that could become an issue right there? It could become. Do the elders have a right to do that?
No, but what
if
they got
two congregations, let the elders be elders of one of them.
No, I understand. I'm with you.
Yeah, but yeah, it could happen. It'd be an easy thing to happen. Try it. Good point, David. All right, and so how about E, any work they choose to sponsor? That happen? Look at question number 16. Look at A. Expo 72, we the elders of the Pipeline Road Church in Hearst have invited all preachers and elders in these two counties to meet together. It's felt that the brethren need to be informed. Number 2, agreement that churches of Christ must not have fellowship with another thing that was going on there. And then agreement that a few men be chosen to work out the details under the direction of the overseeing eldership. And they did it. And so they chose to do it. They had it. Others who were willing to do it. Make it right? No, it didn't make it right. Sounds good, but didn't. And very similar thing in B and C. And what the kind of terminology you'll often find is the elders have assumed the oversight of this work. Is elders' work assumed or assigned? Assigned, not assumed. And so our question is very pertinent to what has happened. We talked about congregational meetings, I think, in our last class. Did we not? Did we not talk about Acts 6 and Acts 15? All right, we did. Okay. And there's your answer. To the question, Catherine, 8D. Did you write a verse? Somebody help Catherine with a verse for 8D. Nobody found one? How about that? Okay. Number 12, oversight may be lost being forcibly taken away. What other way can it be lost? Willing to give it up. That's right. We talked about husbands and wives. A man may lose his oversight simply because he's willing to give it up to his wife. But he won't be a leader. Look at number 13. If you were to ask a knowledgeable preacher in the Southern Baptist Church if he believed in local church autonomy, what does autonomy mean?
Self-government.
If you were to ask him, does the Southern Baptist Church believe in local church autonomy? They would tell you,
yes.
Read this statement. This is from a letter to David Bonner from the Porter Routh, the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. Quote, the primary purpose of the Southern Baptist Convention is to serve as a channel through which churches can collectively or corporately that which they cannot do individually. On our first lesson, we talked about the church as a collective of what? People. What is the word for a collective of churches?
Denominations.
Not in the Bible. Look, this denomination is so churches can work collectively as one. Look, he said now, I most certainly believe in the autonomy of each church and do not believe the convention should take action which should seek to regulate or control the church in any way, unquote. Listen, in the missionary society in the 1900s, that was exactly the argument that was being made when brethren questioned the right of a group of preachers to set themselves up and receive money from churches to do that which elders ought to do or churches ought to do. They said that we're not forcing anybody to send money. Churches don't have to send money. We're not taking over control of the churches. And they weren't forcing churches to send money. And churches could quit sending money. But you can give up your oversight. As well as it be forcibly taken away. Okay. Maybe we'll talk about another question or two here on this lesson, and then we'll get on into lesson 7. Maybe we'll start with number 16, unless there's one of these previous ones we need to go back and look at, okay? We'll do that, the Lord willing, next Wednesday night.